Podcast starting. Hi, guys. It's been a long time.
It has been a while.
Word.
Frickin' Olympics.
This is Michelle.
This is K-Trash.
And Smokin' Jay.
Oh, I really do need a nickname now if you guys are going to introduce
Michelle needs a nickname. We're taking submissions from all our listeners, so...
Just submit it to our online middle form.
So for that one person out there who's listening... Please post a comment. So it's been a long time, but we have a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of shows to cover. So to recap, the episodes that we're going to talk about in this podcast are How I Met Your Mother's episode Hooked, which had Carrie Underwood guest starring. She plays a beautiful woman who hooks Ted. And then the gang discusses their own experiences as the one who hooks a person as well as the hookie. Got Modern Family Fears. Phil and Lou go underneath the house. Haley takes her driver's license test. Alex goes to school dance. Manny and Jay try to get over their fear of roller coasters. And Lily says, Mommy. Middle, the bee. The family goes on a road trip when Brick has the opportunity to compete in the spelling bee, but they've also forgotten Sue's birthday. Community, physical education. The gang tries to get Abed a girl, and Jeff goes underwear to underwear with the phys ed teacher in pool. Parks and Recreation, Woman of the Year. Ron wins an award for Woman of the Year. Tom recruits partners to buy a steak in the local nightclub. And April helps Annie look for an apartment. Then we've got The Office, the delivery. Jim and Pam deliver their baby. Angela and Dwight agree to procreate, much to the demise of mankind. So let's start with general thoughts. Jason, Smokin' Jay.
Thank you. So my general thought for the week is just about this sort of somewhat new genre of documentary television show. And I had a couple thoughts about it, right? So this is, to me, I mean, it probably really started with the original Office, right?
Mm-hmm.
The UK version,
mm-hmm.
Which then moved, I think the first one that we really had that I can remember is the Office, the US version. Since then, there's Parks and Recreation, Modern Family, and like one of the things that's never really been discussed that I've heard, that's always been sort of a mystery about this, is like, who is this documentary for? Who's making
yeah.
it and why?
Totally. I mean, I think it made a little bit more sense for The Office and Parks and Recreation because it could be a documentary crew that's following this particular office around. They're documenting younger people. They're documenting...
He's got a good point. At this point, they've been following
true.
For
no,
five or 6 years. What documentary
agree.
Follows those people for 5 or 6
I
years?
I definitely agree.
But the point, I guess the funniest thing is that we all just accepted it. You know, there wasn't really much questioning because we
yeah.
like hearing the commentary that they had in these interviews, but it's a strange theme. It's like a not, very non-obvious way for me to think about filming a television show. I just thought that was a little bit strange, but the reason that I started thinking about it this week was because, you know, I enjoyed it in The Office, in Parks and Recreation, you know, it's kind of funny. But Modern Family,
mm-hmm.
which is by far and away my number one show this week, we'll get into that
okay.
a little more later, I think does just such a good job of it. And I think the reason is because they do group interviews more often. And part of the best part of these interviews to me are other people's reactions to the person who's talking. Just watching their facial reactions is really hysterical, and I don't think the other shows have utilized that to the extent that Modern Family has. That's
I would true. Agree with you. And I, along that sort of same line, what I was thinking about when I saw Donna and Ron Swanson in this week's Parks and Recreation, is I was thinking about how The Office and Parks and even Modern Family to a certain extent, they have used this meta-awareness technique that you get from this documentary style to really take advantage of the smirk and the deadpan. Like those two things are the best things about the show. Like Ron Swanson's smirk this week was on par with Jim Halpert's smirk. Donna's deadpan was on par with Toby's deadpan. You know, like I think that it allows you to sort of also see the characters look at the camera and be like, yeah, I know. So there's this inside joke kind of quality to this documentary style that I really, really like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of communicating with
yeah.
you on the side.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yep.
Sidebarring.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyways, I was thinking about, I was also thinking about that as well. who is not so much who is his cameraman, but more like, this is so awesome that we have this comedic tool because of this format and because of this structure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, but I would be curious to know who actually came up with it and where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It came from. I guess maybe it was just taking sort of the mockumentary movie genre and applying it to television in a way.
Yeah, totally. Any other general thoughts from Smoke and Jays before we move to K-Trash?
Not for me.
K-Trash.
I just had one thought, which came up last time by Smokin, when we were talking about Leslie and Ron possibly getting together. And it seems a lot more likely this week. And it kind of raised the question.
No,
it's all played out.
No.
I put it slightly above 50% now. I'm upping it. I'm still not making it super likely. But here's the thing is, I think when it happens, it's going to crash and burn real fast.
No doubt. I think you're probably right, but come on. The way he was teasing her this week and just loving it.
Mm-hmm. And then he said, I love strong women, as she was being all this like forceful feminist figure. Yeah.
He's the boy pulling the little girl's pigtail on the playground and chasing her around.
Okay, that's true. But here's what I think. I think it is more similar to the Liz Lemon-Jack Donaghy relationship. And I think the writers probably just figured out that there was a lot of comedy to be mined from the fact that these people get along.
You're right. I mean, they could try to do that. But, you know, Jack and Liz have been pretty close to making it a few times also.
Please, that was never going to happen.
It may not ever happen, but they've been playing it up.
No, I think they were just sort of poking fun in a meta kind of way at people who are shipping Liz Lemon and Jack Donaghy. They're basically saying, you idiots, this is not going to happen.
We'll see.
Bitter end.
I think they're much different, though, because Liz Lemon and Jack, like, it's just funny when they agree, like you said, but I don't think it's not just funny when Leslie and Ron agree. Like, it's much more funny when they don't agree and when the park's dysfunctional.
That's true. But it's like Modern Family. We enjoy seeing these people. I mean, not that there isn't dissension, but we enjoy the fact that these people enjoy each other's company. There's conflict that can develop from that, too. Not just from people who, you know, are at each other's throats.
So that's
not that isn't bad.
That's exactly the point I was wondering at, is how do you play off a relationship between two main characters in the show and make it work and keep it funny, or make it not work and make it funny? Like, how can you make it funny? Because I felt like Jim and Pam in this week's episode of The Office were really, really not funny.
Yeah.
And their relationship is pretty functional, though.
What does that say about life, Kevin?
I mean, is there any way to make a functional, funny relationship in a TV show?
Yes.
I mean, besides, like, the everyone loves Raymond, like, oh my god, me and my wife don't really get along.
First of all, everybody hates Raymond. That shit was not funny.
I give the show a lot more leeway than I think Jason does, but
I like how everyone loves Raymond.
Yeah, I think it's alright. Marshall and Lily are funny, and they have a semi-functional relationship.
True.
More functional in the early seasons. It's becoming a little bit more and more dysfunctional, only because we know way too much about them.
I think it's still functional. You're just not comfortable with their level.
The toothbrush? They shared a toothbrush together.
But you're right. I mean, so Michelle and I have had this conversation outside of comedy, just in that very few people write sort of realistic relationships into television shows. And I think, you know, probably don't expect it as much in comedy, but I think it's probably a really hard thing to do as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think they do fall back onto stereotypes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of, are they going to get together? Then they have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they'll get back together, and then they have to break up. And,
mm-hmm. Or the nagging wife and the lazy, boorish husband.
Yeah.
I feel like Seinfeld was the first one to touch on this issue with the Jerry Elaine, like, kind of have the perfect relationship thing. It fell apart.
Is that really a relationship, or is that just a function?
That's all I got. All
right. I've got a couple of thoughts. Modern Family and Parks this week, I think, in general, overall, to me, represent the best portrayal of realistic relationships among families and among coworkers in a really funny way. For Modern Family, I just love the way that they portray the relationship this week between Phil and Luke, as well as between Claire and her daughters. It's just, it felt very familiar. It didn't feel, but it felt familiar, but it didn't feel too sitcom-y. And maybe that's what Modern Family is best at. It takes things that we know are really familiar, but it makes it seem like we can, like, just fresh and new, and we totally relate to them at the same time. You know, like, the little things, like Claire sort of holding, you know, like, hugging Haley and reassuring her about the school dance, you know, the driver's license thing, even though I didn't really like the driver's license storyline. The Phil and Luke, father and son, getting along so
awesome.
Well. Yeah, trading off things. Maybe it's a suit of armor. Maybe it's bars.
I love that they finally addressed why Luke is the way he is.
Because
he's Phil's son.
Yeah,
I like
totally.
That they finally addressed that.
Totally, absolutely. and then with Modern Family, the thing that I... With Parks, the thing that I think they do better than any other show, even 30 Rock, which was doing really well at this point, is Parks takes feminism and all of its issues, as well as its pros and its and the difficulties of feminism in modern society, is in a distinctly like pro-feminist stance, but it's not indulgent, and it's not lazy about it, nor is it condescending about it at all. I just think that it looks at every issue, whether or not it's feminism or race, with this sense of even-handedness about it, which
yeah,
I really, really enjoy.
I see your point that, you know, a lot of the things that annoy me about really hardcore feminists sometimes is that they're sort of unwavering. They'll take anything that they feel like should be feminist and just basically rationalize it to fit like a stereotype. But I feel like Leslie doesn't do that. You know, it's like she didn't have unwavering support for this like feminist women's organization. She called them out on their bullshit. And she also...
But she is a feminist, is the thing that's interesting to me.
She is a feminist, for sure. But she's... I don't know the words to describe it, but I mean, it starts out with the very beginning of the show, right? She's a feminist, but she's keeping it real also, right? Every
Why
child has
feminists?
The right to play, no matter how boring the sport. You know? I mean, I feel like most feminists would never say that women's sport's boring.
I don't think that's true.
It's a women's sport.
I don't
though.
Think that's true.
That's what she meant.
No,
she
I
meant
think...
soccer was a boring sport.
No, she meant every child has the right to play, no matter how boring the sport.
I think,
like, women's sports are more boring to watch, but they still have a right to play.
That's
them.
Not
no,
how she meant
that's
it.
Not how she read
that's
it.
That's
totally
how she meant it.
Is boring.
Correct.
She
yeah.
meant soccer is boring.
Yes,
that's
totally
she
what she meant. She meant soccer is boring, whether you're a male playing it or a female playing it.
I didn't
totally.
Get that at
Man,
all.
Smoking just went in a fizzle.
I know.
I did not get that at all. That was what was funny about the line. Her
no.
making fun of soccer isn't funny.
No, what was funny about the line is she was pointing out that regardless of whether or not you're a woman or man, soccer's boring. Well, I don't think soccer's boring. But you know what I mean.
That's a stereotype about soccer.
Yeah.
It's a boring sport. You don't score a lot of points.
I did not get that vibe at all.
Well, you didn't play many sports in your life, so it's understandable.
I don't really think that makes sense at all.
But you know the running joke is that soccer's boring, right?
The running joke on Parks and Recreation?
No, the running joke
in the world,
in life, in the U.S.
No, I thought people loved soccer.
In the world, but in the U.S., the running joke is that soccer is really boring.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. I didn't get that vibe from that comment. I'm just going to have to
Look,
disagree with you.
I think
that was the funniest thing about that line, is that in a way she was being totally feminist, and in another way she was totally cutting down women and their sports. That was what was
no,
so funny about that line.
That's
but
not
that
what
wasn't
was funny.
It at all. But that's not what the line was. So
you guys just didn't get it.
No.
Creation, apparently.
We're going to have
no,
to
no,
ask
no,
our
no.
viewers to submit their opinion on this issue.
Majority rule, you just got lawyers.
No, because she did this, she made a very similar comment later in the show, where she totally started hating on the feminist bitches from the women's organization
okay.
and told them that they could step aside and let the real feminists, you know, and start just totally hated on them. That was the same sort of comedy they played on at the beginning of the show and
no.
in the middle of the show at that
it was
point.
Totally different.
No, it's the same exact thing.
I really don't feel like I can get into an argument with feminism about you right now.
But it's not about feminism, it's about Parks and Recreation.
No, because I feel like we're going to verge into that territory where I want to talk to you about feminism as opposed to about these comics.
But it's not about feminism. All right,
guys,
feminism.
Let's move on here.
Let's move on.
I think we're going to settle this.
Let's move on. My other point is this was a very good week for Lord of the Rings. And this was a very bad week for hipsters. Community and all the hipster jokes. Yes.
I remember one hipster comment.
Oh my gosh, they were totally hating on hipsters.
Oh, that's right.
During the entire episode of Community. There were two comments. Jeff Winger, what are you doing? Why aren't you at an Urban Outfitters? And then there was, I'm not a hipster. Would a hipster buy $300 jeans from Italy? It was a bad week to be a hipster on comedy TV shows. And then, yeah, because also Ryan's outfit on The Office was ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the totally hipster.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that about?
Anyway, moving on. And then it was kind of a good week for Lord of the Rings because The Office had a Lord of the Rings reference with Kevin saying, second breakfast, second lunch, first lunch, first dinner. Remember Hobbits? They totally do that, too.
It's not really Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it is. Hobbits do that too.
Did you do that? But I don't think he was referencing.
We had a nerd hat. You would be wearing it right now.
Whatever. Shut up. And then Big Bang Theory had an episode this week where
we're not even talking about that show on this anymore.
Okay, fine. But Lord of the Rings played very prominently on that.
I do feel like I heard a mention to someone being a hobbit this week.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what it was.
Hobbit. Who was it? The Office, maybe?
The
I don't remember. Yeah. My final and last comment
Jesus Christ.
This is really bothering me. Gloria's hat in Modern Family. The blue droopy hat. Would a woman that glamorous wear a hat like that? The answer is no.
To shade the sun.
No. Costume designers, you can do better. That was the kind of hat that a grandma would wear if they were on their way to the casinos, had hit a couple slots, and wanted to eat their, you know, pastrami sandwich out by the boardwalk. That's not a hat a woman like Gloria wears.
Kevin, did the hat bother you?
It didn't bother me.
It did not bother me either.
I just felt it was tonally inconsistent.
But when she put the hat on, what's the guy's name?
Manny?
No.
Jay.
When she put the hat on Jay, he looked like a total girl.
It was funny.
Yeah,
that
was hilarious. He looked so less manly when he had that hat.
Yes, that's funny.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed that.
Okay, moving on.
All right,
I didn't get as much laughter from that.
I think it's time for a new bit we're going to try out this week, which is a tribute to the great people at Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And we're calling this, I like to call this bit, Who's Smoking Jay This Time? So in this, it's going to be a little friendly competition between K-Trash and our no-name
Nerdo,
apparently.
I prefer Kreisha now.
Where I will read out to each of them three quotes from this week's shows. Their job is to name the character who said this quote, and hopefully they can give us an idea of what the quote is in reference to. If they are not able to answer it in 5 seconds, we will let the other competitor try to steal the point. If there's a tie at the end, I have a tiebreaker quote. Let's start it off. Head over to Krasian. All right, your first quote.
Okay.
You know, it almost doesn't even matter what's up there. What matters is what
Phil
you do with the money from what's up there.
Phil from Modern Family. When he's talking about what they could find in this ancient steamer truck up in the attic.
Very good. Phil Dunphy.
Yes.
With the treasure hunt this week, which was fucking fantastic.
That was phenomenal.
I mean, Modern Family could have been like 10 minutes long and only shown the treasure hunt bits, and still would have been the best show of the week.
Oh, yeah.
It was good, but I actually rated it second because I thought Parks was off the hook this week.
I rated it
but
third.
I thought they were both like top.
I rated it third because Community was so good this week.
I thought Community was really good, but not irate.
Well, we're going to have more to talk about there later, but I just thought, yeah, you guys mentioned it earlier. I mean, the way that Phil and Luke played off each other and just kept on going was just brilliant. Plus, you know you wanted to know what went on in the house.
Yeah, totally.
You knew it was something they didn't want any part of, too.
And Phil, I mean, Phil is just incredible. All right, 1 point for Michelle. Kevin,
suck it.
Your quote. Our girl parts are like a spider web. Sometimes you're going to catch stuff you don't want.
That's, oh, man. That's, it's from Community. I can't get it.
Would you like to go for the steal, Michelle?
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was from Community, too. I don't think I know where this is from.
This is really disappointing.
I know! My girl parts are like lady bits.
Alright. That is a quote from Robin Scherbatsky from How I Met Your Mother, discussing her excuse for keeping a guy on the hook.
See, I saw the new How I Met Your Mother episode, and so I've got the new one, which guest stars J-Lo, and is called, of course, in my head, as opposed to Hooked, with Carrie Underwood. Who, not that good of an actress.
No, but would you expect her to be?
No.
I mean, she was fine. She didn't really take away from the show, I feel, but she didn't add to it. I feel like we've had a lot of great guests on the shows this year, and she was not one of them. No. Pretty face.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to point out that I don't yet know all the characters in that show yet, and it's going to be very hard for me to pick them up considering how awful the show is.
What?
I'm just going to throw that out there.
I thought How I Met Your Mother was a little bit uneven earlier in the season, but I think in the last couple of episodes, it's definitely been on an upswing again.
Was this a good show in your opinion?
It was my number two show of the week. I thought it was fantastic.
Totally fantastic.
This was far and beyond the worst show on my list.
This was vintage How I Met Your Mother.
Oh yeah, classic. You know, the only thing that I'm not happy with How I Met Your Mother is just the fact that, you know, I think they introduced these really cool things to talk about and think about, you know? The hook. It was good this week. I liked the hook. But I don't like how all of a sudden they introduce something and then it applies to every single character on the show, like, right at this time. Like, they've never mentioned it before, but now all of a sudden 3 of the 5 main characters have someone on the hook right now. And it was just like, come on.
A little convenient, yes.
Yeah, they need to mix it up a little bit. Yeah. Different storylines apply to different
characters.
Yeah. But they still do it in like a clever and witty way that I really enjoy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I liked How I Met Your Mother this week. I still feel like this is not my favorite season.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that could change.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Score right now, Michelle 1, Kevin 0. All right, your next quote. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a billionaire in Costa Rica by then, eating dolphins and hanging out with lady singers.
That would be Tom Haverford.
Yes.
From Parks and Rec.
John Raffio.
Right? Oh, Kevin! You were so close, yet so far away.
I'm ashamed, really.
That quote comes from probably the best guest, like, cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad he came back.
John Ralph. He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Had he been on the show before? Have I not?
He interviewed.
Interviewed for the Mustache's assistant.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mustache.
Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson's assistant.
Oh,
Tom
right.
Haverford was really pushing him.
That's right.
TH. We know TH wants this.
Bounce, 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 bounce,
bounce.
Yeah. All right. He was brilliant. And anyways, that was John Ralphio talking about why it's lame that he doesn't get his trust fund until he's 50.
You know what's sad? I saw Parks and Recreation twice this week, and it was my number one pick for this week too.
Wow. Wow. All right, Kevin.
Yeah.
Your second quote. Very well. Let's meet at 4 p.m. in our old meeting spot and bang it out.
Dwight.
That's right. Dwight Schrute. And what is he referring to?
Banging out on a typewriter to get their contract set.
Right. I'm talking about deciding to have a child with Angela.
Yeah.
Which is definitely the most interesting thing happening on The Office right now.
Yeah.
I thought him tearing apart Jim and Pam's house was pretty good, too.
That was overkill for me.
It was over the top, but still enjoyable.
There was actually a lot of absurd stuff in The Office this week. And it was, to me, the only interesting bits, and it all has to do with Dwight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the number one scene in The Office this week is when he gets pulled over by the cops, and he just starts throwing weapons out of the car.
And when the cop knew his name. Come on, Dwight, you can't fake a police officer.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I like it when random characters show up who, you know... You wouldn't think that they would know the person's name, but they totally do, and it gives you a little bit insight into the character.
Into
so,
their life, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, in addition to...
Although I didn't really understand why he was familiar with the cop.
Because he obviously had faked being a policeman before on the streets.
Oh, that's what he was doing.
And his escort service,
yeah.
Which he also referenced in the same show.
Yeah. So in addition to Dwight doing that, the police officers knowing Dwight's name, there's also the lady dancer on Parks and Recreation knowing Mark's name.
Yeah, that was good too.
Which is not too surprising.
No, it's not too surprising though.
Yeah. All right, wow, Kevin had quite a comeback. All right, this is your third and final quote. Michelle. The overlap between things you're good at and things they give trophies for, it's pretty small.
Oh, I know this. Wait, no, I don't. Wait. Do I? Wait. No, I don't.
Da, na, na,
why does it sound so familiar? It sounds like it was something from the middle.
I'm all over it. Can I answer?
I think 5 seconds is up.
Yeah.
Cameron Steele.
It's the dad. I don't know his name.
It is the dad. I'll give you the point. His name is Mike Heck. And what was he talking about?
About how he should go for the spelling bee thing because... He's not good at sports, and he's not good at much else, so.
I thought that was a pretty great scene when he went to the school to read with Brick's class.
Yeah.
And not only can the kids not read, and the dads making fun of them, but then he asks Brick to read, who appears to be reading the book.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he drops the little, first grade book or whatever and starts reading out of this novel that he has.
Mm-hmm. I love when he read the word the, and he was like, and so you go to the Phantom of the...
Tea!
Oh, that was so sad. Of course that was... I was wondering how it was going to go down then.
Yeah.
And clearly he was going to lose, but he's so good, but that just is like the perfect way for him to lose.
True to his character. I like that.
I thought he dropped the mic because he was so pissed his family ran up and harassed the judge.
Okay, I mean, we don't even need to do this last quote, but I'm going to do it anyway. Third quote, Kevin, is that code for going number one or number two?
Oh, that was from The Office. Andy?
Disappointing. Didn't even get the show right. I guess maybe there is a point to this. Go for the steal. I'll repeat it. Is that code for going number one or number two?
I feel like it's from Community. Oh, Pierce.
Boom! Pierce! Do you remember what he was referring to?
Totally don't remember what he was referring to.
He was referring to Jeff saying the phrase, I have a man to beat in pool while wearing shorts. Is that code for going number one or number two?
What a weird episode this week.
Totally weird.
So weird, but so hilarious. It was the one show this week where I straight up just cracked up the whole time.
Really?
I'm actually really surprised to hear that this was like really high on both of your lists. Because the first time that I watched Community this week, I was not impressed at all. I hardly laughed, and I wrote in big letters, didn't get it. And then I watched it again. I thought it was a little bit funnier, but basically, I think that they have like a lot of really great one-liners scattered throughout the show, but the general cohesion of everything doesn't work for me. It's not funny.
For me, well, this week, it totally worked. But go on.
I think I really enjoyed... I decided Jeff being a character who gets frustrated in an issue and has to overcome it, rather than him being the character that he is in most of the shows, being in control of the situation, manipulating everyone around him. I don't find that enjoyable or funny. But this episode and the other one I've liked the most was when Jeff had to go on the debate team, when they basically coerced mm-hmm. him into that. I enjoyed it for the same reason. I like seeing Jeff in those roles.
I just thought it, Abed, the snake, the minute he did this, the vampire, that was another part of me. I think it was a vampire. And his channeling Don Draper, I just, ah. Oh. So this was also a good week for secondary characters like Tom on Parks and Rec and Abed on Community. They just gave them showcases. They were just so funny. It was so weird. It was very bizarre.
It was very weird.
The pacing was crazy. Awesome. The pacing was crazy. The gag bits were crazy as well. It was definitely not downplayed. It was like taken to the max.
Okay,
but
did you guys get the jokes about Abed, right? I mean, so they found out someone had a crush on Abed.
Yeah.
And then there were several jokes that they were making where they started to say something and then they kind of stopped and they said something else.
Right.
Did you guys get those?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't attractive and they thought.
No, the running joke, or not joke, but the running question is whether or not Abed has Asperger's.
Right, so I got this from reading the comments below the show on Hulu.
Uh-huh.
But did they mention that at some point in the series, or you're just supposed to pick up on that?
I think
they do mention that early on. Jeff mentioned it at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that the creator of the show has gotten a lot of comments about it, but he might have deliberately not decided to answer them because they don't really want to focus on that.
I see. Because I didn't get that at all. So when they were first doing that, I was just like, I didn't see where it was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I guess they haven't focused on Abed having a lot of love interest, but I never thought of Abed as like a total loser who couldn't get a girl,
but,
which is what they were acting.
Well, that's what they started with Asperger's, and I think they moved to that. That was the joke later.
But it just, I feel like there was no background. There was no setup for that.
He's a
all
weird
of a sudden.
I mean, isn't that enough?
They're all fucking weird.
Well, I think because he supposedly doesn't really read other people's emotions very well, but I mean, we've learned that that is actually not true, right? Because he does read everyone well. Of all of them, he reads everyone the best and understands everyone as well as himself the best.
But is he someone, like, before this episode, if I would have been like, do you think Abed can ever get a girl? Would you have been like, no way, I don't think, I'd never see Abed having a girlfriend. I mean, was it something that you thought about with this character?
I think they played it that way so that it was a surprise at the end that Abed was so good.
I think the way they played it was perfect because I wouldn't see Abed as the person to approach a girl, but it totally seemed as the guy that girls would approach.
Yeah.
Which is the way they played his character in the end.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just didn't buy it.
Oh, I was dying this week. I thought it was so funny.
All right, so tiebreaker then. Last quote.
No, I got 3 points.
I don't think so, dude.
I stole a point from the show.
I got you down for two.
Did you miss it?
You didn't get your last one.
I got Dwight.
You missed Robin Scherbatsky. You stole John Ralphio.
Mm-hmm.
You got Dwight. Oh, you got Mike, too.
Yeah. That's right, give us a tiebreaker.
Interesting.
I'll just seal the deal.
All right.
I'm going to give you the tiebreaker anyway. First one to shout it out gets the point.
Ooh.
Who's buying canned chili and not eating it immediately?
I'm guessing it's from How I Met Your Mother. Right?
Who's buying canned chili?
All right, I got Kevin as this week's champion. That was Lily.
That was a disappointing show for
that
me.
Was Lily from How I Met Your Mother.
Called the show, but...
All right, good job, Kevin. You're this week's champion.
Not a surprise.
You better bring it next week, Michelle.
I know. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. So we're moving on to our next segment.
Next segment.
All right, so in our next segment, we're going to have character face-off that we are calling And Go! In honor of an episode of How I Met Your Mother in Season 1, where Marshall joins a law firm and has to learn how to be a douchebag frat boy. Not that all frat boys are douchebags. You know what I mean. So in this character face-off, I'm going to name off two characters from two shows, and then Kevin and Jason are going to first they're going to answer who they think is the best, and then we're going to go into a little mini debate about why they think that one's better than the other one. And you can use supporting evidence from this week's episodes too.
Got it.
So, our first face-off is Barney from How I Met Your Mother versus Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation.
Ron Swanson. No
and
doubts.
Go. Got away from me to say and go.
Barney.
Ron Swanson.
All right, so let's hear it from Kevin first. Why
Ron Swanson was off the hook this week, just trashing women left and right.
Okay, he wasn't trashing.
He was trashing the award, but he was able to get away with it because you knew the whole time he was faking it. And the things you read about, you learned about him, like that he goes to WNBA games quite regularly, I thought was a nice addition to his character. But yeah, he was off the hook.
I think Ron Swanson is a good, like, small bit character. When he shows up for, like, one liner here or there, I did not think he carried it as one of the major actors in the show this week. And I found his teasing just got a little bit boring to me. He didn't do it. Whereas Barney, even though sadly he's turning into this caricature,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's way over the top, but in a way that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got so much energy. He's constantly introducing like new ideas, new phrases.
It's
like,
a thing.
Barney? Is Barney NPH?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I thought the pharmacy girl thing was completely stupid and totally forced. I did not find that enjoyable at all.
Oh,
I was
everyone
like,
knows, though, that farmer girls are totally the hottest.
No one
girls
knows
right
that.
Now.
Did you know that?
Yes.
I didn't know
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It makes sense.
I mean, I don't feel like that's a thing
it's
at
a
all.
Thing.
That was just created on the show so
absolutely.
They could talk about it.
Absolutely a thing.
And then it disappeared by the end of the episode? That was ridiculous, even if it was a thing.
Dude, hot girls rolled into doctor's offices looking sexy enough to render the very erection pills they peddle ironically redundant?
No.
I laughed once in that entire
Does Ron Swanson have lines like that? I don't think so.
Everything I say is the attitude of an award winner. Because I am an award winner.
That line was not funny at all to me.
Really? I was cracking up at that.
Because I am an award winner? What? That's the punchline?
So I'm being impartial because I like both characters a lot. But Pharma Girls, totally the sector with the hottest girls. It's a thing. True. Because they always recruit. There's a running joke that they recruit from sororities only.
Plus, I'm thinking back to Barney's playbook, you know, when he was going through the different moves that you can do to get women, or his perfect week, or, I mean, there's so many different things where Barney has really shown. I think that his character is much more hilarious.
Mm.
Ron
right.
Swanson plays an important role. I like him, but...
Moving on, Troy versus Abed, which might not be very fair because Troy didn't have as big of a showcase.
Yeah, and this week.
So let me change it to Jeff versus Abed. I think that's an appropriate.
Oh, Abed, hands down.
Get away for the and go, man.
And go.
Abed.
Jeff.
And
did you just say Jeff to disagree with me, or are you
no.
actually?
Okay, so let's start with Jason this time. Why Abed? And go.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have an argument because it seems so obvious. Like, Abed is funny and Jeff's not really.
You
like,
can't
Jeff
get away
is
with
kind
that.
Of charming.
You need supporting evidence.
I mean,
am I
no,
to
I mean,
like,
I think that's it. Go to Kevin because right. Abed has funny lines. Jeff is just sort of, he's kind of witty. You know, he plays his part, but I just think the character is just not as interesting at all.
Well, as you know, I usually hate Jeff. I thought he was really good this episode. I usually don't think he's funny at all because he's put in this situation where he was called out on his bullshit about why he actually didn't like the shorts, and he had to kind of go backwards and then gain his confidence later to go back and challenge this, you know, coach in a game of pool that ended up completely absurd and ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked the way he played that. But I also thought Abed did a really awesome job. Close call, but I think because Jeff was really out in his element in being challenged in some way.
Are we just
comparing them on this show this week, or are we comparing the characters as a whole?
Characters, but you can use supporting evidence from this week's
episode. Well, it's not just this week, it's as a whole.
No, it's as a whole.
As a whole.
Oh, then Ovid.
This is what I'm talking about.
I thought we were doing this week. I thought we were doing this week. Isn't that the whole point?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you can use supporting evidence from this week.
I knew I didn't need any evidence.
But not any other show?
What do you mean?
You can't use any other show besides this week.
Oh, yeah, you can. You can.
Oh, okay.
You can. But you can also use supporting evidence from this week.
Okay.
Moving on. All right. Phil from Modern Family versus Marshall from How I Met Your Mother. And go.
Phil.
Oh, okay. No argument there, I guess. Do you guys want to support your argument? Or have we already talked about Phil enough tonight?
Well, I think we've also talked about How I Met Your Mother sucks. So, by definition, Phil wins that one.
Fighting words.
Marshall is funny, but he's a little bit too wussy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Phil is at least pretends to be a lot more manly, and he's a lot more like genuine about it. And I think that it leads to more hilarious situations. Like Marshall kind of acknowledges that he's kind of a wuss, whereas Phil's kind of a wuss, but he pretends that he's not.
That's why you like Phil more than Marshall?
That's one of the qualities I like about him more, yeah.
Supporting evidence for that point. Does that make me a hero? Yeah, I think it does.
I think this says a lot about you, too. Okay. The final one is Cam from Modern Family versus Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation. And go.
Leslie.
Jason.
I'll say Cam then.
Are you saying that just to disagree with me?
Man, that was a tough one because I feel like it's hard to compare.
Yeah, it is hard to compare. They play such different roles in their shows.
And they're both pretty awesome.
And yeah. Cam and Mitchell together have the best one-liners of all the shows combined. In recent weeks.
I wouldn't say that.
Them and Tom have before.
You think more than Phil? I think Phil Dunphy has the best one-liners.
No, I think everyone's had some great one-liners. I couldn't narrow out one or two.
Yeah,
I just think this week, everything that Cam and Mitchell said, I wrote down. Every single thing they said.
Hmm. You know, in fact, I would have said, I might have picked Troy when you were asking Troy and Abed. Because I think Troy has had some great one-liners in the past.
Yes.
He just like pulls these hilarious jokes.
It's hard to compare Troy and Abed separately because their jokes are usually with each other.
Yeah, together.
So they play off each other.
Yeah.
So.
They're definitely best together.
Although, I have to say that one of the jokes on Community that really I just didn't get this week, and that I feel like it was trying to be too complex, was the joke about the You Can't Buy Me Love being the white remake of
Love Don't Cost a Thing.
When Love Don't Cost a Thing was, I took notes on this because I looked it up because I was like, what am I talking about? Love Don't Cost a Thing was made in 2003 with Nick Cannon and Christina Milian, whereas Can't Buy Me Love was made in 1987. So you're supposed to realize both that it's ludicrous that they were saying that that was the white remake and that it was funny because it was a black version of a white movie, and they were saying it was just like too much going on.
And there was a lot of pop culture references this week. I do agree with you. That was the one joke in Community where I just wasn't along for the ride. It was a little too complicated. You had to think a little bit too hard unless you were particularly familiar with those two songs to really get it.
I liked the idea of the joke. I just didn't think that it worked with the movies that they chose.
Maybe they could have chosen different ones.
When they did the after school special thing, and it was like Fat Albert.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, okay, that was funny, but it just didn't work because you ruined it with the movie reference before that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you're saying the ending didn't work because of the earlier reference?
Well, it was like you already confused me with the Can't Buy Me Love thing.
That was like 5 minutes in the episode. Were you confused for the rest of the show?
No. These two jokes right after each other saying the Fat Albert thing was funny.
Gotcha.
But they kind of ruined it. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So, ready to wrap this up?
guess so.
Does anyone have any thoughts? I think the main issue that, the one issue left that we have to address is the fact that Kevin hates How I Met Your Mother.
No, I want to address an issue about that show, which is they have laugh tracks.
No, I didn't notice it.
Laugh tracks are not necessarily bad.
They aren't, but it's weird. None of the other shows we watch have them. It really stood out for me, having never watched a show before.
That's interesting, because when I watched The Big Bang Theory, the last show that we did, I really, really noticed there was a laugh track, but I didn't notice it.
FYI, I watched...
No, I don't notice it.
I watched The Cougar this week, and I was not... Or last week, and I was not impressed.
Cougar Town?
Yeah, Cougar Town, whatever.
I still like it, but...
I cannot get into it.
I mean, are we going to sum up with some of our normal, like, metrics, though?
Yeah, the rankings?
Well, no, like the Barney awesomeness metric and Mosby likability.
Yep.
So I actually have Mosby fairly high this week at a 7.5. And the reason for it is at the very beginning of the show, when commentator Ted made a comment about, you know, how sometimes love is these grand things.
Yeah.
But this week, this time, I was just being a jerk.
Yeah.
And I was just like, douche Ted? What?
Yeah!
And it was a nice, he wasn't totally douche Ted, but it was like a little bit of a faint douche Ted commentator around the, like, normal sort of annoying Ted but getting screwed over. And the combination I thought was really nice. I thought Ted was fairly likable.
Ted did a nice job at the end with his self-awareness about how he had been treating this woman, which I think is sort of Ted's redeeming factor, right? Like, he balances his douchebag tendencies and his pretentiousness with the fact that he is generally a sweet person. You know, so yeah, I agree. Ted Mosby likability index for me this week was probably at an 8. Ted was very likable this week.
Right.
We can't tell it. I haven't watched it. All
right.
Barney awesomeness index. What would you grade Barney?
The Barnacle this week got a 6.5 from me. I just, you know, it's just, he's just going too far into it. I still enjoy him, but it's just over the top for me.
Yeah, there's only so long that the writers can make him two-dimensional, given the fact that they were building him into a more three-dimensional character.
With dating Robin and being in love, and then they just sort of, they just yanked him back.
We can talk more about that issue after you've watched this week's holiday.
All right.
So, yes, we're ready to rank the episodes.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, number one.
Parks and Rec.
Modern Family. And I love Parks and Recreation, but I'm really surprised that Modern Family, to me, Modern Family had been sort of plateauing for a while, and then this week was like a spike. It was just perfect. Everything about it was, like, spot on. I loved it.
I agree, but Parks and Rec, I laughed almost the entire show this week. I thought Modern Family was, like, 9.5 out of 10, and Parks was 10 out of 10.
It was Tom's show this week.
What is Tom's show?
See, I kind of thought, I actually...
Why is it so hard to be a mogul? I just want to own a club on every continent. I'm $1,000 away from my dream.
I thought this was a dip for Parks and Recreation. I thought the storyline with the award was just a little slow and a little boring.
I thought that was perfect. I thought it took what Parks and Rec did best. It took these little bureaucratic issues and sort of
made a big deal out of
them.
And I liked the interaction between Rob and Leslie. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. Also, good news. Did you guys hear? Adam Scott from Party Down and Rob Lowe from Brothers and Sisters and The West Wing, and other assorted TV shows and movies. Both of them will be coming to Parks and Recreation.
Permanent characters?
Recurring characters, I believe. Mm. Although Adam Scott might be a regular. Yeah.
He's the main, he's the head, like the boss in Party Down?
No, Adam Scott is not the boss. Adam Scott is the young one. The main lead.
I like him.
Yeah. He is reportedly going to be a Leslie Knope love interest.
The wrong thing can't last that long.
Dude.
If it happens.
It's not happening.
Can I also point out that the football coach was from Upright Citizens Brigade. Roberts, which is Amy Poehler's, you know, Get Go series. That was nice to see.
Yeah.
I also like the use of the term mustachioed. And I think that I do think that Parks and Recreation, even though it was only number three on my list this week, did have maybe one of my favorite quotes of the week, which I didn't include in the quiz this week, which was Andy's quote, "You're like an angel with no wings." So, like a person.
That I almost made my favorite quote this week. I really like that. I do like Andy's new band name also. Switch from Mouse Rat to Tackle Shaft.
That just makes me think of Drive Shaft, which is the band that Charlie from Lost is in. Which, by the way, I am missing tonight to do this podcast. I would just like to be put on the record the sacrifice that I'm making.
All right, let's move on.
Number two. I put Community.
How I Met Your Mother.
Modern Family.
Number three.
Parks and Rec.
Modern Family.
Community.
Number four. How I Met Your Mother.
The Middle.
The Middle.
Oh. Number five. I put The Middle. Yeah, I put The Middle.
Office.
Community.
Number six.
Office.
Office.
How I Met Your Mother.
I feel like we need to do some education, like some backlogging. Like, we should start Kevin in season one, How I Met Your Mother.
You've introduced me to the show before when we lived together, and it didn't work then.
But clearly there's something wrong with you.
I mean, did you guys like Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem, because I feel like it's just another version of Friends.
Who doesn't like Friends? Does that make you un-American?
I liked it.
Unpatriotic,
I like Friends, but I don't love it. You get it?
Well,
I mean,
but
it's
you don't like this show. You said
yeah,
you hate
I think
it.
It's worse than Friends in that it's like
See,
Friends,
but
I don't like it.
It's much more witty than Friends, I think, and I'm surprised that you don't enjoy the wit about it.
How I Met Your Mother is similar to Friends in that it looks at a group of 20-something/early 30-somethings and their life and how it revolves around each other, their relationships. The way I think How I Met Your Mother differs from Friends is. How I Met Your Mother takes a look at sort of the social phenomenons of our generation and encapsulates it in a very encyclopedic or Wikipedia kind of way. And so it's kind of fun. They're cataloging all the little things that, you know,
which
characterize our 20s and our
sort
20s.
Of what Friends was at the time, right? Because that was the phase of the yuppies, which is what all the Friends were, whereas...
But I feel like we can, as our generation relates a lot more to How I Met Your Mother than to what was happening to the characters.
But if we were 20-somes when the Friends were happening, that would be where we would be.
No, because I think Friends was a little bit more soap opera-ish in a lot of ways. Ross and Rachel, will they or won't they? Will they or won't they? And I think with this show, it's a little bit less about will they or won't they. Like, the fact that Robin has dated both Ted and Barney is not a really brought upon. Whereas I felt like with Friends, when Rachel dated Joey and Rachel, it was, you know, it was like, will they or won't they? Will they or won't they? It was a constant crutch for them to pass Rachel around. Whereas I think with How I Met Your Mother, it's not just about Robin having dated Ted and Barney. It's about, you know, the fact that Barney is this kind of person and he has these sort of ideas about women and Hooked and so forth, and Robin is this gun-shooting Canadian. I just think it's more than the sum of its parts.
I think the two things I don't like about it, possibly, are first of all, I feel like it's like Friends, like you say, but at the same time, more pretentious and more cheesy than Friends
pretentious.
Is.
Pretentious?
More cheesy?
Cheesy?
I feel like the jokes with the pig
it's
and the tea
romantic.
Pot.
It's kind of romantic. Oh, yeah, I didn't like the pig.
The
tea
pot.
I did not like the...
That was
disgusting.
And then, like, the little, like, notes that played whenever they looked at the pig, I was like...
That was the bait, man.
Stupid. This
is,
like, one of the stupidest things I've seen in a long time.
Okay, I'm
going
to propose a challenge to you, Kevin.
Okay.
I would like you to watch the Bracket episode of How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
And tell me that you don't enjoy it.
I would like you to watch season 1, episode 10, The Pineapple Incident.
Bring them on. I'll watch them.
Okay.
All right, so you'll watch these two episodes, and during the next podcast, we'll see if you've changed your mind about How I Met Your Mother. Okay. Sounds good. I think we should sign off.
Yep.
Bore people enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace
out.